As we come to the end of the series on resurrection, we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that great chapter at the end of Paul's letter to the Corinthians. It's quite long, so I've edited it down. The words will be on the screen. If you're following the in your Bibles, then you can sort of do a test on how well I've edited it down. Have I changed its meaning to what I want it to say? That's always a risk, isn't it? Paul writes, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas," that's Peter, "and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also. This is what we preach, and this is what you believed. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. And those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. And some will ask, how are the dead raised? What kind of body will they come? How foolish. You sort of think there should be a little bracket there that says snort, don't you? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body, as he determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh, animals another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, the splendor of earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, the stars another, and stars differ from star in splendor, as we saw in the pictures from Ellie. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let's pray. Father, may these words sink deep into our consciousness, deep into our soul, deep into our spirit. May we know you, your voice talking to us, your spirit leading us, you, the resurrected one, moving amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen. This chapter is one of the most important that we can bring to the fore. If we had to edit the Bible down, I would certainly leave this chapter in, along with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is the great chapter on love, along with John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and so Romans 8, therefore we are all children of God. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I would leave in. And Eugene Peterson summarizes it. It's resurrection, resurrection, always resurrection that undergirds what I do and say and the way that I live. When I had the great pleasure of wandering around Bangladesh and talking to people who had come into faith in Jesus, I would say, tell me your spiritual story. And they would talk, sometimes for an hour or two, on how through their life they had met Jesus. And if they talked about Jesus' death, they almost always talked about his resurrection. Their stories didn't just stop at the cross, but the resurrection of Christ was incredibly important. And ascension is today. And in fact, most of the people I interviewed also talked about Jesus' ascension. I wondered if we were to tell our stories, actually, would we just concentrate on the cross? That's true. That's wonderful. It's great. And I've just spent a couple of days at a mission conference, and one of the songs that they sung was this great old song, which I happen to know in Bangla, which in Bengali is Kebo Matro Jishu Rok Do. Do you know the song? Only the blood of Jesus. And we concentrate on Jesus' death, and Easter, we concentrate on the passion of Jesus and his death, which is all good and true. But we have a tendency to overlook the resurrection. And yet Paul in Romans says, he was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. That our salvation, justification, that great word that resonates right through Paul's writing is dependent not just on Jesus' death on the cross, but on his resurrection. Easter life. New life. That resurrection power. So Eugene Peterson is right to say it's resurrection. Resurrection. Always resurrection that undergirds what I do and say and the way I live. I'm sure as we go through the next few points that there would be people, if I was to ask you to put up your hands, which is always slightly embarrassing, isn't it? But I won't. But there will be people through the congregation who would say, yes, that's part of my story. I'm sure we would all have stories of prayers that have been answered and healing. Where Jesus has touched us in our illness. And there has been healing. Stories of Jesus' presence with us through the tough times. And I know I've shared this before. When Jonathan was a very new baby, he was unwell. Very unwell. And we'd been in one hospital in the south of England, and we'd gone back up north to where we were staying, and he'd ended up straight back in the hospital at the age of 6 weeks. And you think, crikey, this little nipper, is he going to be all right? And we went to the church that we were part of, and the hymn was sung, how sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the joy that he gives. But we know that he can face the future just because we know our Savior lives. That's a slight mistranslation. Because he lives, because Jesus lives, he can face tomorrow. We had no idea how well Jonathan was going to be. But we both left going, we know because Jesus lives, we can face this tough time. It wasn't a promise of healing. It was a promise of Jesus being with us in that time. And I'm sure there are many here who would say, yeah, healing didn't come. What we prayed for didn't happen, but we knew Jesus with us. How many of us have prayed for provision and it's been there? I mean, time and time again in Bangladesh, the project was getting where unless this happens, that cannot move forward. And sometimes to the week, money would come in. When I was a young lad, having sort of at university decided I need to go to Bible college, I had enough money just to pay the fees which had to be paid at the beginning and nothing to live on for the rest of the year. Okay, let's go for it. I pitched up at Bible college and somebody had paid half the fees. To this day, I don't know who it was, but the other half was enough to live through the year. Now, I'm sure there are many here who have stories like that. At the right time, God's provision has been just right. Protection, being kept safe. There was a rather funny story of one of the, I didn't meet this guy, but one of the missionaries in Bangladesh was cycling along and he heard a voice say, it'll be all right, you're safe. And he thought, what? And whereupon he was then jumped by people who wanted to, these guys mugged him, basically. And all he could do was laugh. Because he knew he was going to be kept safe. And he actually started asking for things back, like his phone. So that he said, well, keep the money, but can I have my phone back so that I can ring people and they can, because it's dangerous out here. There are robbers out here, you know. Yeah, I'm sure if we were to go around here, there are people who said, yes, I was kept safe because Jesus lives. If we were to go through the congregation, I'm sure there are people here who would say, Jesus turned my life around. I was like this. It wasn't good. And Jesus completely turned it around. Now, that's not my story, but I know that there will be people here who would say, because Jesus lives, I was turned around. More my story is that the book, I love the title of a book. I've never read it. So many books that you get, and it's a great title. Never read it. There's a long obedience in the same direction. Chris has got it. Read it. I just like the title. A long obedience in the same direction. I would say that sums up my life. But I'd put it more as more than just obedience, but a burn. Burn to move forward. I'm sure there are many here who would say, yeah, because Jesus lives, that's how my life has worked out. So the hope of resurrection is fantastically important. Paul writes, it's this gospel upon which you take your stand. It's this news by which you are saved. What I have received, I passed on to you as first importance. He also says, if it's not there, you've believed in vain. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. We sit here as people that, what? Our life is useless if what we believe did not happen. We're above all people to be pitied if Jesus was not raised. Again, Eugene Peterson says, let's face it, if there's no resurrection of Christ, everything we've told you is smoke and mirrors. And everything you've staked your life on is smoke and mirrors. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. the first fruits of all who've fallen asleep. So we look at the actuality. Big word, yeah. Sorry, that's my Bible college stuff. Jesus actually was raised. There are many out there who don't know that. For whom that is something of a joke. For whom they would go, it's too much of a hurdle. How on earth do we, there are people out there who go, the moon landing didn't happen. Because it's way too big a jump. And you can talk to your blue in the face about all sorts of things. They keep coming up with things saying, no, it was faked. Well, so, the resurrection of Jesus. There are many people out there who go, it's too big a thing to believe. How on earth do you believe it? Well, there's a series of things that have to be accounted for or written off. First of all, that Jesus lived. Now, there are people out there who go, Jesus never lived. Complete lie. Actually, you have to throw out most of history if you're going to apply those standards. If you apply the standards of history, then, yeah, it's safe to say Jesus lived. We have to say that Jesus lived and that he died on the cross. This is where our Muslim friends struggle because the Quran tells them Jesus didn't die on the cross. Those of us who are involved in that, in Muslim-Christian encounter, have to engage with that. But most people who say Jesus lived would be happy to say he died. Okay? One and two. Then things become problematic. There's an empty tomb. The body of Jesus disappeared. Again, that is something that all those involved looking at history would agree with. But what happened? And as well as that, there's a body of people who said, we know not only is Jesus' body gone, but we know we saw him. He's raised. We believe. So there's an empty tomb and a group of believers that have to be accounted for. Whatever we come up with has to account for those four things. Jesus lived, Jesus died, there's an empty tomb, and there's a group of believers who said, we know he was raised. Okay, how do we do that? Well, there are some who say this is all a late invention. I'm sorry, that doesn't match up. When you start looking at the texts and stuff, it's not, it's a very, very early bit of news. In fact, today's reading, we'll come to that, is probably the first. People can say Paul made it up. Well, again, that doesn't really match up with all the texts. The Jesus didn't die bit. Well, afraid crucifixion was very good at killing people. The one that is probably got the most bit behind it is people thought they saw Jesus, but they were wrong. This doesn't account for the empty tomb. Okay, you have to somehow lose the tomb. The body was there, or stolen, or something, but they thought. But hallucinations don't work that way. Not with the spread of people that the stories are told. This that we read from Paul is probably dated around AD 56, maybe 57. Okay, so that is 25 years after Jesus' death. It's very early. It's written to a bunch of people in Corinth. So the story has had to grow. So we've got 25 years. And what Paul writes here, from what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. And then he starts. And it's a hymn. It's a piece of poetry, equivalent to Dr. Foster went to Gloucester in a shower of rain. Do you know what that story is all about? The Dr. Foster one. It's about a king. One of the kings. I can never remember which one. He came to Gloucester. Horrendously wet year. The roads were never kept up because there was no highways agency. It was supposed, and apparently Gloucester was rubbish at keeping up the roads around. It was a terrible journey. And so, so the king just basically said, and this, the Gloucester's ambivalent relationship with royalty continued. It's put into a poem, a story that is the news. Very similar to what Paul has just written down here. This is, it's written in Greek, but there's Aramaic running through behind it. This is, in 25 years, we've got an Aramaic hymn that is settled into a sort of a liturgy. This is old. This doesn't happen quickly. And it's only 25 years to do it. And it's a story of witnesses. It's a story of people who said, I saw. I know what I saw. I saw alone. We saw as a group. So we have to then say, are these witnesses reliable? Can we trust it? We're getting back to what we talked last time. Trust. Faith. Are they faithful witnesses? But it's not, of course, that our belief in the resurrected Jesus is not just the ancient witnesses, but the witness of the church through the years. Read histories. Read biographies. Some of the greatest books I've ever read of people who have said, I'm walking with God. The stories of people who walked with God. I know my own grandfather, just before he turned 100, sat our two boys down and he sang to them, count your blessings. Count them one by one. This is a man who had left his home country when he was 14, crossed the world in these little tubs, ended up in New Zealand, gone through a depression, gone through two world wars. And his witness to his great-grandchildren is, count your blessings. It will surprise you what the Lord has done. The witness not just of the original community, not just of the church through the years and people that we know, but of the witness of the resurrected Christ in our lives. And what's the meaning of this? If that's the strength on which we stand, then we know death is swallowed up. Everything that is wrong, everything that needs to change, dies. Swallowed up in death, but there is a new resurrection. I loved talking to the guys in Bangladesh, and time again and again, I would say to them, Jesus died, rose again, has ascended into heaven, and we're saved. How does that work? The answer was almost invariably, we're joined with Jesus, and I am dying and have been raised. I love the playing with the grammar there, because it doesn't work in Bengali, just like it doesn't work in English. I am dying, but already have been raised. That means, yeah, there are going to be tough times. The illnesses, the hurt, the loss, times of abuse, times when where death is just seeming to control the events around us. But there is the reality of resurrection now and the reality of resurrection to come. It's not worked out fully. But it will be fully worked out. We are joined with Christ. We are dying with Christ.
we have been and will be raised with Christ.